Today's daf in Masechet Shviit Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Gimel. And we were talking about the question of when you would be allowed to quarry stones out of your field, and it would not be looked at as if you're preparing the karka for actual harisha, by doing harisha. So that was the issue. Got up. On this stuff, we were talking about, in our Mishnah, we were talking about what type of fence you could actually take the stones out of, and it would be clear that what you're doing is a construction project, and not doing wrecking your fence just to expand a little bit of your field. And we said if it was 10 tefachim high, and it has the type of stones in it that can be carried only by two people, so they're standard construction stones, et cetera, that is something that nobody's going to think of. This guy's got to be crazy. I mean, why would he be taking down his fence? Must be he needs it for a construction. Okay, so now the interesting thing is that in the Mishnah in Ohalos, we also have definitions of what's considered to be a valid type of construction. Okay, so the Mishnah begins over there, talking about aziz. Aziz is mevi et tuma bekoshehu, but a gizra v'aguvlit is only mevi bepoteach tefach. So now, this is referring to the normal halacha of tumas oyal. So we have a body of a mace in a home. Anybody that's under the roof of the bias, or for that matter, anyone that's under the doorway, it's an extension of the roof, is considered to be in the oil amaze and is going to be tummy. Now, oftentimes, there was an extension, we see this today as well, a decorative extension above a doorway, which is like an extension over the entryway into the house. So somebody's got like a little porch and he's got a little extension over the roof. So now the question is, what type of extension will be considered to be a further oil? So it says a ziz, and a ziz is a decorative extension. In that case, it doesn't need to have its own tefach, because over there, it's got a din of an actual piece of the inside of the doorway, and the continuation, therefore, of the roof of the house, so that as long as it's got clearly a decorative shape. So in that case, it would be mevi tuma kolshu. As the Rambam explains, all of these ideas are obviously, he says, obviously only midrabanan. You can't extend the concept of a deraisa, defined sense of what an oil is. The Rabbanan did so because of the fact that in people's minds, this is viewed as if they're still in the house. Okay. And that he doesn't even bring a riot. The Gemara never says that. And he just says that it's a dover borer, that we're talking about any case which extends beyond the normal halachas of oil is a derabana. So if it's a ziz, fine. But if it's a gizra or a guvlit, so over there, that is not a decorative extension. That would be like, say, somebody, this happens very often, where you've got like a shelf, right? You've got a shelf and the shelf is there, either to put things on, you can put some lights on there or whatever, or you've got this triangle to make sure that you don't get wet and the rain just falls off the side. And if that doesn't have a tefach, so then that's not viewed as an extension. That's obviously for its own purposes. Over there, it would need to have its own shear of a poteach tefach, right? This part is not nogea us at all. It's the rest of the Mishnah that's nogea. And in typical Yerushalmi fashion, we won't quote you the rest of the Mishnah, but we'll allow you to discover the rest of the Mishnah from the following discussion, which is what we want to bring a raya to. So now, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said that if you make a deal with somebody, and this is nogea the rest of the Mishnah, that's why we're bringing it here, you make a deal with a contractor, and you tell him you want him to build you a nidbach. Well, nidbach is a row, and then you're going to continue. Yeah, you'll do whatever you want, but you just want him to build a nidbach. So maybe he's got to build like the foundation with the first layers, and then you figure you could do the rest of the bricklaying yourself. I don't know why you would do this, but that's what you did. So then the halacha is, even though you didn't define specifically contractually, it's got to be X height. The din is, it has to be at least four tvachim high. Why? Because four tvachim is always the shear that we use as a choshev definition of place. Remember, when it comes to the dinim of Shabbos, we talk about four tvachim in terms of the difference between a malkum tur and a karmelita. That's a place that is valuable. Omer Rav Yossi, it's a place that's valuable. Look at the Mishnah that we just quoted the first part of. So here's the way the Yerushalmi is allowing you to discover the rest of the Mishnah. Okay, so it says over there, Ubameh amru haziz meviyat hatumah b'choshu. What was the case when that ziz is able to be maybe tumah? Only a ziz shugavoh min hapetach shlosha nidbachim. Now, the Tanya uses the concept of three nidbachim to define the height of the ziz. I have a terrible feeling that my Menachemo is going back to his 50-year-old habit of falling asleep in the middle of shir. Now, I think it was only 43 years ago that you were able to totally be misgaber on that habit. Isn't that true? So what happened? Oh, my gosh. I guess when you get older, you get more tired.
Maybe.
Or maybe this year we're more boring. I don't know. Anyway, so getting into it's so sweet to be together. So the din over here, it says in the Mishnah, it uses a very strange language. Let's measure it by nidbachim, which according to the Rambam means the distance from the ground level of the entryway to how high this is. According to everybody else, it's a reference to how close the ziz is to the top of the doorway. Fine. We're not interested right now in the dinim of Ayalais, but what we are interested in is that it says in the shir of the Mishnah, Shlosh nidbachim Shehim Shneim Asar Tefach. Ha ha! There you go. Every nidbach, if 12 divided by 3 equals 4, there you go. Now, why would the Tana mention a nidbach, for heaven's sakes? Why not just mention the amount? You said 12 tvachim, as you say it, because he's coming to tell you, in terms of Dine Momenis, how to define a nidbach. Brilliant. So that must be the whole point of the Mishnah. And therefore, it says that in the contract that doesn't clarify, it means a nidbach of 4 tvachim. Now, says Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, strange, you know, Elin Shiuri, Keenan Shiurayu. Then we, wait a second over here. We just finished a Mishnah that discusses the chashivas of stones to be considered proper building stones, right? Didn't we do that? We had the question of how many stones you could take out, 3 levels, 3 times 3, 27, and so on. I mean, the way we worked it out, actually a completely different shear. How does that work out? Is there a way to make this consistent? So says Rav Chisky by Yaakov Bar Abba, Shem Rav Yossi Rav Chinah, absolutely. It's the same shear. What? How is it the same shear? Here you just said, Hocha atom ha-shear gader asara tvachim. You said, if the fence is 10 tvachim high, right? So then you have a right to quarry it. But less than that, we say, now remember, we had two ways of understanding this yesterday. Right now, we'll take the standard way of understanding it. Less than that, it has a din of a machtsev. So you can only get up to within a tefach of the ground. And now you're saying that a row is actually four tefach. Let me understand how this fence was built, because somebody's crazy or I don't know how to do simple multiplication. I mean, if a nidbach is four tvachim. So how high is this fence? I mean, if the fence was built of 3 nidbachim, last I heard, that's 3 times 4 is 12 tvachim. If it was built of 1 nidbach, then there's 4 tvachim. If it was built of 2 nidbach, it's 8 tvachim. How the heck is it 10 tvachim? So obviously we are not using the same measurement standards. What did you do? You, like, shaved it down just to be conveniently 10 tvachim? That's nuts. What is a standard nidbach? Obviously, our sugya does not agree that a standard nidbach is four tefachim, because then the shear of the fence makes no sense. So im kishayu shnei nidbachim, so then it's eight tefachim. If you got three nidbachim, kishayu shlosha, so then it would be 12 tefachim. But you will never get 10 tefachim, darn it. Amar Rabbi Yossi, no, you will. You will. Tell you why you will. Because say chatzi tefach lesitut mikan, v'chatzi tefach lesitut mikan. You're ignoring a very important difference. The difference is that when you build a good quality fence, and you still see people doing this, and you see the original terracing that's done all over Hare Yehuda is done this way. You do not use cement, because cement washes away. You actually cut the stones to fit, and they fit perfectly. And because of that, you don't need to use cement. So that's a very high-quality wall building. They do this still today, but you pay a heck of a lot of money for decorative wall building like this for your homes. And because of that, you're going to have to take a half a tefach off in order to be misatate, in order to chisel it smooth on the sides, on each side, which means that if you've got three nidbachim, then you have ended out with 10 tefachim, because basically you chiseled it away. Now, as far as the din in Olos is concerned, there it's still 12 tefachim, because there you're talking about home building. Home building, you do use cement. So whatever you chisel away, you make up with mortar, right? So it's exactly the same. For wall building, it's 10, and for the shear of the nidbachim, for Olos, it's actually 12. Fascinating. Okay, so now, what does the next piece mean? The next piece says that if it doesn't have 10 tefachim, then pachot mikan, that's the din, it has a din of a machtze. At least that's what it sounded like. And because of that, you have to keep it to one tefach above the ground. Because if you go lower than that, then it looks like you're trying to make your field suitable for planting. And that's why you're taking out these stones. That's what we said. Now, that means that if it's any less than that, so it doesn't mean, the Mishnah doesn't mean that it's a machtze. Actually, it's enologa there, velo machtze. It's not, doesn't have that din that we spoke about before. It's only called a machtze in the sense that you're not allowed to go all the way down to the ground. But it doesn't mean that you have a right to actually treat it as a machtze in general. That's what we're saying. Now, this is extremely strange, but it happens to be the way that the Rash Mishans explains the Mishnah, which is really very problematic for a very simple reason. There is nowhere that we have ever seen that in a real machtzev, you have to keep a tefach samach lekarka and not take out the stone. Where does that come from? So what do you mean to tell me it's not really a machtzev? It's only a machtzev in terms of a halakha that I never heard of before. Well, what a strange way of teaching me the halakha. That's absolutely wild, right? My mamash doesn't mean anything. So, I mean, the alternative is to learn that what we're talking about is that you can be, remember, the Mishnah said machtzev. So if we read the Mishnah as michatzev, okay, so then mechatzev makes sense. You can always be mechatzev. The Rambam says it's beferish. You can take everything that you want till the bottom. Totally disagrees with the Rash Mishans, and his lashon is kol ma deboy, take out anything that you want lenaker mimeno b'shviit kol ma sheyirtze. So obviously he does not believe that in the din of a machtzev that there's a halakha that you have to leave the tefach. So therefore, the meaning over here would have to be as saying that actually the Mishnah didn't mean machtzev, the Mishnah only meant michatzev. that you can only cut it out, but we're not giving it a din of makseh. That would be the way the Rambam learns it, and that way we avoid the whole problem of saying there's this new din of a makseh that you cannot go all the way down to ground level, which is, I think, much preferable. Okay, so the Braisa says that Amar Rav Yehuda, Bameh Dvarim Amurim, that is a lot of problems in the Girsa over here, and the Gra corrects it to this. So Bameh Dvarim Amurim, Bizman Shenitkavein Letikun Sadeh. If the person actually had in mind that, yes, I do want to take these stones for my building project, but wouldn't it be nice if I could also have my sada being cleared? So then, in that case, you've got to leave that extra tefa. Avo b'she'eno mitkaven, again, the tikkun of the gra, b'she'eno mitkaven the tikkun sadehu, then you could take it even down to ground level. Afilo yoter mikan mutar. So according to the approach that we were quoting the Rashbi Shans, this would mean that this din that we said a machtsev cannot be taken down to ground level, in this case, it can be taken down to ground level. According to the way the Rambam is learning it, the limitations that we gave to a case where it isn't really a machtsev, because it doesn't have the requisite 10 stones and the chashivas and so on, but if you never had intended at all for it to end up being useful for your sada, then we wouldn't have been answering it on you. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, I say the opposite. I say, Bamed var mamurim, only bizman shalonit kaven etaken sadehu. If you didn't have anything in mind about your field, then you've got to leave that last tefa. But if you had in mind that you actually want to clear the stones because you'd like your field to be clear, so then even if your fundamental reason for doing it was because you want to build a garage, you wouldn't be allowed to take anything. So imlan de kaven letikut sadeo, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, afilu pachot bikanasr. You wouldn't be able to take even leaving the tefach samach la'ara. Because the whole time that you're doing it, it looks like you're being metak in the sada. And since it's known that you want to be metak in the sada, people are going to say, listen, the guy's working his field. Yeah, this is an excuse that he's saying he needs the stones. Amar Rav Bidi, Hari Rav Yosi Gedon Tanya Lekula. Actually, Rav Yosi Paskin over here like Rav Yehuda, Lekula. That if you didn't have any intention for your sada, Lonis Kavan L'Sadeu, you're allowed to take it down, even to ground level. Now this brings us to Halacha He. Halacha He. So here we're on the next Mishnah, and it's a little bit not what it seems to be. What it seems to be saying is slightly different than the Gemara is going to be coming out, as we're going to see. So we're talking about over here, Avanim sheziyazatan hamakharisha. So remember, until now, we've been talking about this machtsev. We had the machlokas about whether we're talking about that there was an actual machtsev there, or the way the Yerushalmi understood it, according to the Rash and most of the other Rishonim, it was actually covered with dirt, and you were removing the dirt. And that was our problem, because that looked very much like you were out to be metaking your field. But here we're talking about, you've got stones that are in your field, and they were shaken by the plow. Now, the Gemara is going to say it doesn't mean that they were shaken already by the plow. It means that these are looser stones that are not deeply in the ground, and if you would plow over it, they would be moving around a little bit. So over there, even though you haven't done that yet, the din is that we treat them differently than these cases of a machtsev. So if they're movable and they would be hit by the plow, you see them, or for that matter, what very often happens, and I'm sure you've noticed if you've ever paid attention to ground that is just an open sada that you walk over, strangely enough, these stones appear out of nowhere. So at the end of a rainy season where a stone wasn't there before, somehow or other you get stones that weren't there, you know? Okay, so apparently there's like a lot of overall movement while the ground is softer. So what about stones? So until now, these stones were actually covered. You never even knew that they were there. And now, all of a sudden, nidgalu. So in that case, im yesh behem shtayim, shamasu shnayim shnayim, if you've got these very valuable building stones, and they are, as we said the case before, they are only liftable by two people, so they're heavy building stones, you've got two such stones, you're allowed to take those stones. Why? Because those stones, we understand, are valuable stones. And therefore, if you would discover them in your field, even if you had no intention of, there we go, we've got Baruch Avram showing us the sudden appearance of Avanim in his beautiful field, that he was shocked. What the heck? How did that get there? I'm positive that it wasn't there before. There we go. Oh my gosh, look at those stones. But try to find us one that requires two Baruch Avrams to move. How about that? Now that's a challenge.
There is a pile of them. There is a pile of them further down. You can see where they've been taken out of the field. Yep.
Okay. So, but there, they're taken out of the field for plowing purposes, right? We're talking about a valuable stone. And over there, people will not be choshesh that you have now decided that you want to plow your field. You never even knew about this. And therefore, we have no reason to think that, oh, wow, this guy undoubtedly is taking out those stones, even though it's Shvi'is, because he wants to plow his field. Why would we think that? So we realize, oh, my gosh, this guy's very happy that he discovered these valuable stones, and he's taking them out to sell or to use in his construction project. But the case that we had before, where we're more machmir, we don't allow you to do that if you've got a machse, is because you always knew that that was there. And you never did anything about it. And now all of a sudden you're starting to work on it. Now that makes us suspicious because we immediately have to think, why is he suddenly doing this? Okay. So then, of course, we're going to look for the most rotten explanation that turns you into a no good neck. And it's obviously because you want to take care of your field during Shemitah. Okay. So it's a different situation that allows us to be more makel than we otherwise would have. So there. You'd be allowed to take them. When somebody goes to get all of the field's stones for a building project, now that is something that Baruch Avram was about to show us when he was walking down to the end of his field over there. Were you going in the direction of that pile, Baruch Avram? If you were, let us share it with you. So then.
Yeah, a few minutes.
Okay. So then Notel, and this is amazing that we're able to have Baruch Avram's field here, and all of these dinners, it's just so exciting. So then he would need to leave the ones that are in touch with the ground when he's taking out, even for the purposes of using for a building project, he would have to leave the ones, miniach et hanogot ba'aretz, and that way it doesn't actually prepare the ground in any way. Now, the same thing would be true if he's got a gargar shot sorot, which Baruch Avram is now showing us. He's got a pile of these looser stones. They're more like pebbles than they are big stones. If he has that, so then notel et elyonot, umeniach et hanogot ba'aretz. Again, because we don't want you to be cleaning out your field, that's like harisha. But suppose the pile itself is on top of a large boulder. So then obviously the boulder is not something that you're going to be able to plant. So then it doesn't matter. You don't have to leave the bottom ones. Take them all off and just leave the boulder there. As a matter of fact, for that matter, if this is an area of the field where you have impacted straw that doesn't allow you to actually plant, so then you could take everything. Because unless you actually start working on the field, nobody's going to be chayshish that you're coming to do what's basically a harisha, meaning a tikkun hasada. And therefore, if even after you take the stones away, you're going to be left with a field that's unusable, then there's no problem in taking the stones away. So now, as we said in the Mishnah, lo sof davar b'sheziza atanam al harisha. We don't have to be talking about where you actually did the plowing, and you saw that they were being moved about by the plow, because that's irrelevant. That isn't the point. You know that you're going to be doing a plowing. Everybody sees, oh, wow, these stones are loose, and they would be easily moved by a plow. So obviously, they're going to explain that you want to do a project. Amar Rav Yossi, yes. Because basically, that's innate in the Mishnah. You can't explain the Mishnah the way anybody would think naively that it means it actually was dislodged. Because look what the Mishnah says. It says, "Im yesh b'kol achat v'chad, ma'asur shnayim shnayim, harei elu yinatlu." So what we're talking about is, about the bigger the stone is, the more likely it is that you'd be allowed to move them. But if we're talking about the plow, right? So which one is the plow going to move? The plow is obviously the smaller the stone is, so then the easier it is to imagine that we're talking about a plow would move the small stones. So, I mean, if the Mishnah is trying to tell me, well, if the plow already moved them, then you can remove them. So then how do you explain the fact that we're limiting the heter to these big, gigantic stones? It makes no sense at all. So it makes much more sense to say what we're talking about is stones that could be moved if you tried, and therefore you're now encouraged to take them out and actually lift them out because they're not deep in the ground. They could be moved by a plow. That's all we're saying. If they were deep in the ground and you would need to dig around them and so on, so then that would literally be Harisha. We wouldn't allow you to do that. So you see, for the Mishnah, it's obvious that the Mishnah means movable, dislodgeable, easily dislodgeable, not that they were actually dislodged, because that's not true. If they were dislodged, you can't move them. Okay, gentlemen, that's great. So now we have another exciting day of Yerushalmi brought to you with our sponsor, Baruch Avram, and we hope, Ezrat Hashem, can't say we'll continue tomorrow, but I do hope we'll continue in a new world on Yom Rishon, and Yeshua Hashem, Kerev Ayin, Hashiach Samecha, Vareches Nachlasecha, Re'em V'Nas'em, Ad Olam, said these dinim will be very, very nogea in Shemitah Day.